Annoy people on the quiet car and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, good beat coming out, 11:23. Malicious with you on this Wednesday midday. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Yankees kicking off the 11 o'clock hour. Floors wide open. Manhattan we go. It's Jeff. It's the fam. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, what's up, Moose? How you doing?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
Great, great, great. Listen, Moose, I'm a diehard Yankee fan, but man, unfortunately, until Boone stops playing LeMahieu, stops playing Trevino, we're screwed, man. We just are. And Cashman needs to call up the Dominguez like ASAP, man. He's killing it out in AAA. I mean, I don't know what they're waiting for.
Right, I understand, but where exactly is he going to play? Are you going to take Verdugo out of left field?
I mean, you know what you could do? I mean, you could platoon him against left-handers. You put Dominguez. It's simple as that.
Yeah, I know that Cashman came out and said there's no pathway right now for Jason Dominguez when he was asked about it about a week ago, I think it was, when Cashman was asked about it. And, you know, I think they were maybe an injury happened, maybe a case of Stanton going down would create a pathway to where then, you know, he could get ample playing time. I don't think they want to have Jason Dominguez, and not every player is going to respond well to where they're a part-time player either. So you got to read the individual too. So just saying, well, we're going to platoon him, and, you know, well, not everybody's going to respond. You want to put your players in the best possible position to go out there and be successful as well. Listen, I think they're clearly, you know, issues when you look at this lineup. You like the fact that Glaber's gotten hot a little bit. You know, Chisholm, you're going to deal with the inefficiencies of him learning the position at third base. You saw that last night on the tag, and you've seen that at third base at times as well. You know, the throw, I think he rushed last night because of who was running. But the tag at third, I mean, that's got to be one where, I mean, you get it. You get the tag down. You're not waiting for the guy to slide into you. And you saw that last night. But yeah, I think Wells needs more playing time. You know, Trevino, to me, nice story a year ago. Issues with his arm, issues with controlling the running game. Wells, to me, should be the Yankees' number one catcher. I'm in agreement with you about LeMahieu. But if you are going to play him, there's certain spots where you can't have this inherent trust in LeMahieu anymore like you once did. That guy is gone. I mean, when you're down 4-2, one out, two men on base, and you're sending LeMahieu up when you've got three lefty bats on the bench, and you're going to look at the splits of Finnegan that's in the game for the Washington Nationals looking to close it out and save it. I get leaning into the analytics, but you also have to look at the player that's up at the plate as well and look at how inefficient LeMahieu has been as an offensive player this year.
Listen, the thing that scares me is our Achilles heel is hitting left-handed pitching. They want to beat us. All they got to do in the playoffs is just throw left-handed pitching, and we're done. We're dead.
Well, yeah, I mean, Jeff, I Yankees have been a little bit better on the road than they have been at home. I mean, there have been issues with this team. I don't know if it's necessarily just, and you saw it, you know, I get, last night when you're going up against Patrick Corbin, you expected the Yankees to be successful, and they weren't. You know, they just weren't. They had opportunities. I mean, Judge coming up with the bases loaded, grounds into a double play, hits the ball hard, but hits it right at the shortstop, and ends up being a double play, and ends up being a rally killer. Now you're going to kill Aaron Judge? You're obviously not. I mean, because Judge has been downright brilliant this year. He's been historically great. So, you know, that's going to happen at times. But it's just a game. What you don't like last night when looking at that game is some of the decision-making by the manager end of the game and the sloppiness by the Yankees, which has become a thing now all of a sudden in the game. You know, throwing the ball all over the place. Inability to get a tag down at third base. Trevino thrown down to second and nobody covering. The miscommunication you saw there. Like, those are the things where that at this stage of the year, we're sitting here, it's what, August the 28th? Like, that is stuff that needs to be cleaned up. Alex in Brooklyn's up next in the family. What's going on, Alex?
Hey, Moose, how are you?
I'm doing well, Alex. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I just wanted to touch a little bit about the Giants' offensive line. And listen, the Giants haven't had a sustainable offensive line since the days of Eli. We know think whatever we have in Daniel Jones, which we don't know 1,000% yet what we do, what we don't have, being that he was injured. What we need to see what he has, we need a sustainable offensive line. Where do you see the offensive line at this point? Because obviously last year, even 2 years ago when Daniel Jones had his good season, that was in the contract, the offensive line was not great. To me, to see the best in Daniel Jones, to see the best in this team, we need to see a good offensive line. Where do you see the Giants' offensive line right now?
Yeah, when healthy, Thomas is a stud at left tackle. I like Runyon coming over. They beat out the Jets from the Green Bay Packers. I'm not telling you that he's an all-time great guard, but I think he's a massive improvement. Schmitz, I think, is, you know, a good young center that I don't think is, you know, I saw somebody tweet out yesterday that Schmitz is a bust, and I saw Art Stapleton respond to it. I mean, that is out of line. That's not true. I think you found the answer at the center position with John Michael Schmitz. I think with the signing of Luminor, I think the offensive, I think bringing in a new offensive line coach from the Raiders was a massive upgrade. I think the offensive line is going to be improved this year from the group that that took the field last year. Now they've got to stay healthy. The issue with the Giants last year was lack of talent amongst the starters along the offensive line, lack of quality depth, and then the injuries that hit the team. Now, I can't predict injuries, right? So do the Giants need their two tackles to stay healthy this year? Yeah, they do. I mean, is that imperative? Could it be disastrous if Andrew Thomas goes down? No doubt about it, 100%. But there's not one team in the National Football League that can lose a franchise left tackle as the Giants have, and then you're going to be able to replace that player without batting an eyelid. That's not happening. Thomas is getting paid what he's getting paid because he's a ridiculous talent at his position and got rewarded for that, right? So he's one of the best left tackles in the entire National Football League. I think the line's going to be improved. I think that's what you learned from the Giants offseason with Hard Knocks is that when I grew up watching the Giants, it was about what? Protecting the quarterback, getting after theirs. I'm not telling you this is an all-time great offensive line, but we've been talking about the Giant offensive line for way too long since they won the Super Bowl in 2011. It's been 13 years, right? It was toward the tail end of Reese. It was during the Gettleman era. Now it's during Joe Shane. So every general manager has told you that their number one priority is fixing the offensive line. I'm not telling you that this is going to be one of the best in the NFL. If they stay healthy, they'll be markedly better than the one that that took the field last year.
Yeah, I completely agree. Also, the responsibilities of the offensive line have to pick up a little, only because not only are they now protecting the pass rush, but now they don't have as much as of a dynamic running back as Saquon left the team. They're going to have to create a running game also, which Brian Daboll has shown that the running game is really what sustained the Giants through that season 2 years ago. So they have more responsibility now, so we're hoping to see an improvement. Just one more question real quick. Do you think Daniel Jones, where do you see the ceiling for Daniel Jones? Let's say he has a good offensive line, and his receivers are good receivers, they got good weapons. Where do you see the ceiling for Daniel Jones this season and the season to come?
Yeah, I mean, Alex, it's a really good question. I've been more positive pro Daniel Jones than most. And I get you can lean negative when you look at DJ as a quarterback. I think he provides you enough examples where you look at Daniel Jones and you say, I don't necessarily believe. Pocket presence, game has not slowed down. You look at him statistically, he's not dominant, all of those things. What's the ceiling to Jones? If we're looking at statistically speaking, say if you're looking at touchdown passes, I would expect with the receiving core that they have, with Neighbors, Slayton, Wandell Robinson, and Jalin Hyatt, I would think he's going to be in the mid-20s in touchdown passes. Now, the question to me with Jones is not only health, how good he can be, protecting the quarterback, protecting the ball, not turning the football over, is how can he play the position? Stylistically, how can Daniel Jones play the position? Now, you go back 2 years ago when the Giants went to the playoffs, beat Minnesota. Jones was the best player on the field that day when they beat the Minnesota Vikings. Now you might say, well, I didn't really think the Vikings were that good that year. They're the cardiac kids. They won a ton of games by 7 points or less. Never really a believer in Kirk Cousins in a big-time game. Okay, all of those things. But you can't take away from the fact that Daniel Jones was the best player on the field that day, regardless of position. He was. Now, what does that do for me now? what stylistically, what is Jones going to be? Because what made Daniel Jones so good that day was his ability to not only throw it, but his ability to run it. Now, Jones is coming off a torn ACL that he suffered in the Raider game last year out in Vegas. He's now had two neck injuries. Can I run Daniel Jones and have designed quarterback runs? He's never going to be Lamar Jackson. He's never going to be Michael Vick. He's never going to... But there's an asset to him as a non-pocket passing quarterback, pure pocket passing quarterback, that the Giants and Daboll as a play caller now, taking over that role, wants to take advantage of. Where the defense, you have to respect the idea that Daniel Jones can break the pocket and be able to run it. How often can I run it? Can his body hold up stylistically to him being able to use all of his physical assets at the quarterback position? Like, that's a million-dollar question. Because if I take that out of his game, then I think the effectiveness of Daniel Jones takes a hit. But aggression's the word. I mean, if you were out a day or 10 days or all throughout the course of training camp, I think the idea of this Giant offense is they're going to want to try and push the ball deep. They're going to take their shots. They're going to use their speed. They're going to use their playmakers. That means the offensive line up front has to hold up and they have to protect. And we'll see if they can. Let's head out to Floral Park. It's Ken. It's the fan. What's going on, Ken?
Hey, Moose. Great show as usual. You're a must listen. You're just a must listen all the time.
Thanks, Ken. I appreciate it, man.
Sure. I had a point on Chisholm, but before I get to that, I don't know if you heard Boone's post-game last night. I didn't hear if you mentioned that. The reason he said he was asked about the thing with LeMahieu, and he said he doesn't like where Finnegan is tough on lefties, but I much would have rather seen Cabrera out there.
Yes.
In that spot.
Yeah, I saw it. I mean, Ken, I referenced it. Yeah, no, I saw it. I get it. The problem is, I mean, the guys that had hits on him in the we're lefties.
It's insane.
Like, you listen to it and you're just like, you know.
Brutal.
I'd rather him go like, listen, I went with my, you know, and he has the stats to back it up, to have a righty. You look at Finnegan's splits, he's tougher against lefties than he is righties on the season.
Yeah.
All that is true. So he leans in on the analytics. I'd rather, though, but not every instance is one and the same.
No.
Like, you have to also look at LeMahieu, the player, and where he is as a hitter now. Now, I mentioned it, right? He's hitting .250 in the month of August. Much better than the .170 he hit the previous month and the .167 he hit the month before that. Like, LeMahieu, but he is no longer that caliber of hitter where you should have this inherent trust in LeMahieu if you're the Yankee manager. That trust is, amazingly enough, still there.
No, it's unbelievable. Anyway, with Chisholm, I was not a big fan of him coming to the team. Now, he's definitely had moments, no question about it. I didn't love his plate discipline. I've seen him with the Marlins before. But this idea of an experiment at third base, I think, could come back to bite them. If he doesn't clean up, he's had like four errors in the last weekend. If you can't, do a trial and error of somebody who's never played the position late in the season and hope that that's going to clean itself up in October, I think that could be a big, that could bite. That's like when he played Glaber at shortstop instead of second. It's like, what are you doing with an experiment like that? You got to get somebody who really knows how to play third base.
I get it. But I do think there's a little bit of difference. I don't think Glaber could physically play the position. Like, I think Jazz Chisholm can. I think you're just dealing with the warts of him learning a new position on the fly on the major league level. Yeah. So, like, I think it finally became abundantly clear that I don't care what Glaber did in the minor leagues, he's not a major league shortstop. Like, the Yankees were the last person, the last entity to actually realize that. I think that's different with Chisholm. But where else do you go?
No, that's
like, here's the issue. Well, like, where else
Cabrera.
Do you go? You're not going to move.
Cabrera.
Well, you're not going to. You can't. Well, where are you playing Chisholm then? If you have a.
I understand. Yeah, I got it.
Where else are you going to go? Glaber.
Yep.
He's there for his offense. You're going to put him in the most comfortable spot. He already said he doesn't want to play third base, and I don't blame him. He's looking to get paid after this season as well.
Yeah.
And he had an organization that force-fed him shortstop, right? So I'll defend him there. And his greatest asset is his offense. It's not like he's ever going to be Roberto Alomar at second base. It's not going to be like he's going to be this defensive whiz. So Glaber's offense is going to be the biggest key. I want to make sure that he's comfortable, because we do know this. If he's not comfortable defensively, it's going to affect his offense. So that's why you have Chisholm. Now, if LeMahieu was the DJ LeMahieu from the first 2 years, then we're having a different conversation. We're not.
Yeah.
He isn't.
Yeah.
And you have no other options right now at first base. There's not that trust in Ben Rice. Rizzo's right. on the mend. He's down in right. Somerset hitting home runs as he did last night. Right. That's great to see. Maybe Rizzo right. rejoins his team, and then you have your answer at first base. But right now, Chisholm, yeah. that's the only spot he can play.
I definitely get that point, and you're right. I'm just afraid it's gonna bite him in the rear end in the playoffs. That's what I'm concerned about. But
yeah, Ken,
anyway,
I don't listen. When you come off a game as sloppy as the Yankees looked last night, yeah, you could look at the defense. That's not the concern number one for me, though. Like, I don't know if I'm going to look at it where, because I could always, late in games, if I'm nursing a lead and hand it off to my bullpen, and I have, like, say, a 5-2 lead, take Chisholm out of the game and put in a guy like Cabrera at third base because I have a lot more confidence in him at third base in that situation to prevent the big-time error. Now, early in the game, can't do it. I'm leaning in on the athleticism, the offensive prowess at times, what Chisholm provides to my lineup. I'm leaning in on that. But I can make some adjustments late in games if I'm trying to hold on to a lead in a big-time playoff game.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.